So with that, we're going to read the first two verses of Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So this is what I wanted to talk about today, is worship and praise. This psalm, if anybody has a Bible that has a little headings or a title on it, it says, Praise to God in His Holiness and Majesty. So this psalm is a praise to God. It praises God. So right off the bat, you might think to yourself, this says three times it says, give unto the Lord. Is there anything that we could actually give to God that He doesn't have? Is there anything that I can give God that would make Him somehow more complete? There is nothing that I can give God, neither can any one of you. He's complete, completely complete in Himself. And so what this is referring to, it's a praise. Praise the Lord that He is mighty. Praise the Lord that He is clothed in strength. Praise the Lord because His name is glorious. You are giving Him what He already has. You are praising Him for those things. And so He is saying the three praises to God. Who is to praise the Lord? The first, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. If you notice, that's actually referring to angels. Mighty ones, in the original text, says sons of God. He is referring to angels. Angels give glory to God. Everyone is to give glory to God, including those who are hearing this psalm being read by David, and all those after him who read this psalm ought to praise the Lord. If you can, but turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This is what it says. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. All things were created for Him. And everyone is to praise Him for that, because He has created all things. Nothing existed before He was. So who is to praise Him? Angels. The invisible as well as the invisible. The visible and the invisible. Including man. After the three praises, David falls to the next step, which is another important step in the Christian life. And that is the latter part of verse 2. Worship. He falls to worship. If you were writing down anything, this would be an important verse to write down, which says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That is very important, very crucial. Write down this note. True worship will only occur if we know why God is to be praised. You cannot have proper worship if you do not know why God is to be praised. Otherwise, you just have a ritual. You are like those people in Acts who bring glory to their unknown God in case they missed a God. They're worshiping Him. That's exactly what you are doing here if you do not know why God is to be praised. And so true worship will only occur if we know why God is to be praised. Why is He to be praised? All of this psalm from verse 3 to verse 9 speaks of His power. More specifically, of His voice. His voice alone is so strong that in verse 9, it makes the deer give birth. Can you believe that? I don't think I've ever heard anyone say something that would give birth to a deer. But God is so powerful. Verse 3, the Lord of glory thunders. We often see the thunder associates with His voice. When people hear His voice, they think of thunders. Why is He to be praised? Because He is a powerful God. In verse 10, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. He is also to be praised because He redeems His people. Let me bring you back to Noah's time period. Man was fallen and corrupt, just as they are now. And the mind of man was bent on evil continually. Now picture this picture that everyone, the whole world, was corrupt and in sin, and they knew nothing about God. Even though they knew it, they suppressed the truth. They wanted nothing part of him. And Noah and his people were amongst those people until the Lord chose them for his glory. Imagine that. He knew his own people. He hears his own people. And so he knew who those were who were to inherit salvation in a world full of evil. Our Lord God is great. I would never have known who are God's people, but he knows exactly who are his. And so he goes after them. And apart from anything that Noah has done, he became a preacher of righteousness by God's grace. We read that in the book of Jude, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Oh, I'm sorry, in the book of 2 Peter. That world and ours still continue to want nothing to do with God. And so that's just how great our God is, that he just chose those people out of a world of evil. No man could do that but God himself. So he redeems his own people. And because Noah was redeemed, he praised the Lord, obeyed the Lord, and worshiped the Lord, because he knew he was worthy of that. Now, how do we worship the Lord? How do we worship the Lord? That's in the next verse, the same verse. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, I want to remind you guys of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So if people here are not holy, if they are not separate unto the Lord, if they have not ripped themselves out of the grip of this world and given themselves to the Lord, they cannot see the Lord. How can anyone worship what is unknown? No one. One who does not know why God is to be praised, again, is not in a worship service, but is in a ritual. If you're in a church and you do not know why God is to be praised, it's nothing more but a ritual to you. You just come here to do a ritual. There's nothing you can do. You're just coming to get something, a benefit from yourself, for yourself. There are thousands of people in America who go to rituals on Sundays. Holiness is a beauty. Only the Lord is holy, and he is but one. The Lord is only one, and he alone is holy. Now, I want to picture something for you. Everything that the Lord creates is holy, and it's beautiful. Creation. He has created creation, and it was beautiful, and it was good. Look at a sunrise or a sunset or the ocean or the mountains covered in ice and snow. It is a gorgeous scenery. Whatever the Lord creates, it's gorgeous. Now, what about his people, Israel? In Lamentations 2:15, it says of Israel, the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth. Whatever the Lord touches, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's holy. Not to mention the church. In Revelations 21, verse 2, it says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Whatever the Lord touches, it's gorgeous. Just like Midas, if anybody knows the story of Midas, who has touched something and it turned into gold. That's what the Lord, everything he touches, everything he creates, is all holy. And so I want us to look at ourselves. If we are true followers of God, are we holy? Are we adorned by his grace? Does his power, does his grace, does his love shine from us? Do we walk as Christ walks? If we are his followers, we should be representatives of him. If we are not, maybe we are deceived. Maybe we come to church like a ritual. Maybe we do not know why God is to be praised. If that is the case, search the scriptures diligently to find out why he is to be praised. And so a quick review. No one can have true worship if the reason to why God is to be praised is unknown. Why is he to be praised? Because he is worthy, and he is a mighty God, and he is mighty to save those who are his. Who is to praise God? Every creature who has been created by him is to praise God, visible or invisible. All need to praise the Lord because he is worthy of it. How do we worship? Through holiness, through the beauty of holiness. And I want you to keep this thought in mind, that knowing that you are not your own, but you have been you have been bought with a price. Those who are his, you have been bought with a price. And so glorify God as much as it means to you. If he means little to you, you'll glorify him little. If he means much to you, you will glorify him much. Amen.